ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज एंड गेस्ट्स फॉर दिस इवनिंग भगवद्गीता क्लास। सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग टुडे फ्रॉम द भगवद्गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 14 entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature, text number 14 and 15. Text 14. Yada satve pravriddhetu pralayam yati deha brit tadottam vidam lokan amalan patipadyate. Translation. When one dies in the mode of goodness, he attains to the pure higher planets of the great sages. Purport. Sorry. One in goodness attains higher planetary systems like Brahmalok or Janalok, and there enjoys godly happiness. The word Amalan is significant here. It means free from the modes of passion and ignorance. There are impurities in the material world, but the mode of goodness is the purest form of existence in the material world. There are different kinds of planets for different kinds of living entities. Those who die in the mode of goodness are elevated to the planets where great sages and great devotees live. We'll read the text 15 also. Rajasi palayam gatva karma sangeshu jayate tatha pralinas tamasi muda yoni shijayate. When one dies in the mode of passion, he takes birth among those engaged in fruitive activities. And when one dies in the mode of ignorance, he takes birth in the animal kingdom. Purport. Some people have the impression that when the soul reaches the platform of human life, it never goes down again. This is incorrect. According to this verse, if one develops the mode of ignorance, after his death, he is degraded to a human, degraded to an animal form of life. From there, one has to again elevate himself by an evolutionary process to come again to the human form of life. Therefore, those who are actually serious about of human life should take to the mode of goodness and in good association transcend the modes and become situated in Krishna consciousness. This is the aim of human life. Otherwise, there is no guarantee that the human being will again attain to the human status. Ukam karoti vachalam phangum langayate girim यद कृपा तम हम वंदे श्री गुरु दीन थारिने। हरे कृष्णा। So we are reading from the text 14 of chapter 14, the three modes of material nature. This is very important verses which we are reading today about the art of dying. This is what the science of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about. many times people ask or say that the devotees are very pessimistic or is always talking about death. But this is what the Bhagavad Gita teaches us. How to lead a life so that we can attain a better destination or a successful life so that we can die to get a better destination in the next life. All the scriptures, the Vedic literatures deal with the concept of the soul, which Bhagavad Gita very beautifully explains, especially in the second chapter where Krishna explains the Sankhya Yoga. And then later in the further chapters, Krishna elaborates on the science of the soul. And here, in these beautiful verses, Krishna is explaining, of course in the 8th chapter also, Krishna describes the art of dying, that yam yam vapi swarna muktva, that is the verse which says that whatever consciousness one has at the time of death, that determines one's next life. So now herein, while discussing about the modes of the material nature, the Supreme Lord Krishna very mercifully is explaining this beautiful science of dying, how to lead in a life so that we can die to get a better destination. This is very, very important to know where we are heading towards. Otherwise, many times we lead our lives without knowing what the goal of life is. Like there is a that story, which is a famous story of that king. There was a king in his kingdom, and as the sages, one sage arrived there, and then he was trying to give the scriptural knowledge, the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, but the king was not able to hear that knowledge. Then later on, the king, as the Vedic kings were there, they were very respectful to the sages, so he asked, "How can I serve you?" So the sages are very, very intelligent. They knew how to bring the king to the right path of Krishna consciousness, giving him the right message. Because if the head of the state is God conscious, then he can, or the leader of the state is God conscious, then he can make his subjects also God conscious. So therefore the sage said, he gives him a stick and said that you should find out the most foolish person in your kingdom, the Mahamurkh, who is the most foolish person in your kingdom, and give this stick to him, this danda to him. King is very surprised by the type of request which the sage is asking for. Anyways, so the king sends out his ministers that find out the most foolish person in the entire kingdom, and I want to appoint him as the Mahamurkh, the greatest fool in my country, and I will give him rewards. So all the ministers set out, and everyone comes to know that the king is going to reward the greatest of the fools. So everyone pretends that he is the greatest fool. But of course the ministers work very hard. They search out. And finally they came across a person who was like looking towards the stars in the daytime, trying to look for the stars and count, and doing all sorts of crazy things, like other various things he was doing. So then the ministers brought him in front of the king and said that this is the Mahamurkh. He is the greatest fool in our kingdom. So give this danda to him. So they give this danda to that Mahamurkh and said that they give him a place, and this is your place, and this is your perks and your salary, because you are the greatest fool in our kingdom. Over a period of time, this happens. And eventually, as every one of us, each one of us has to grow old, the king also became old, very, very sick. Of course, king always had that mystery of that what the sage had asked, what is the purpose behind this. So when he was very, very sick and almost about to leave, he called for all his ministers, the sages, and he called for that greatest fool, the Mahamurkh, which he had the danda. And when then Mahamurk come, then the king is there and he's talking to the Mahamurk. So that Mahamurk asking, what happened to you? He said, I'm very, very sick. I'm about to leave. And I may have to go now. So the Mahamurk asks, where are you going? He said, I'm going to very, very far away. He thought, the king said that he is a fool. He won't understand what death is. So I'm going to a very, very far place. So the Mahamurk asks, so are you carrying your whole army with you? Who all are accompanying you? Can I accompany you? They said, no, no, no. The place where I'm going, no one can come with me. Okay, so no one can come. So then he asks, are you taking your money with you? Are you taking your treasury? The king said, no, no, I cannot take my treasury with me. No one can come with me, not my wife or no one else can come with me. So are you taking something to eat in that long journey? Said, no, 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 I cannot take there anything to eat. So then the Mahamurk asked, so if you are going to a far off place where no one can accompany you, are you aware what your next destination or where your destination is? The king says, I do not know. And then the king says, and then actually the Mahamurk hands over the stick to him. He said, actually you are the greatest fool. You are going to die now where you cannot take anyone, cannot take any food, cannot take any money. But you are not prepared for it. So going for a destination without any preparation. Suppose if you board a train and then somebody asks, where are you going? He says, I don't know. Where am I going? Where the train is going, I'll go there. So does that make sense? Somebody, you tell this to someone, he'll say, hey, what are you saying? You don't know where you are going. So similarly, this Bhagavad Gita is, this Krishna is trying to provoke or trying to make us understand that go deeper into the life. In our busy life, we should ask this question that where is the ultimate destination of my life going to be? And what should I do to make that journey comfortable and my destination comfortable? That is an intelligent person who asks these questions. The basic questions with Gita answers that all of us are experiencing suffering in this world. So therefore, an intelligent man should ask, why am I suffering? Why is the suffering being imposed on me? I don't want to suffer. I don't want disease, but we get diseases. I don't want to fail in exams. I don't want to give the exams. I don't want relationship problems. But we all have to go through these problems. An intelligent person is one who questions these things. As the scriptures explain, that this is the difference between an animal and a human being. Animals also have very, very superior or fine intelligence. They have the intelligence, but their intelligence is being used for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They use their intelligence for just these four things. So if, as human beings, we also use our intelligence, just how we can I eat properly, where can I eat, the same activities which an animal does. So then there is no difference. So therefore, these are the questions which we should pose ourselves and try to find the answers. That what is life beyond these four things, eating, sleeping, having sex life and defending, which even the animals are doing. Then only we are intelligent. And as Krishna is explaining here, that when one dies in the mode of goodness, he attains the higher planet of the great sages. So the Krishna is giving us these information. And as Prabhupada is pointing out, the word amalan is significant. It means free from the modes of passion and ignorance. So one who is intelligent tries to understand these scriptures by hearing, by reading these scriptures, that what it means to be in the mode of passion and ignorance. These scriptures basically give us a vision to see the spirit, the world around in a right perspective. This is called as Shastra Chakshu. The Shastras give us a real vision. When who is read in the scriptures, when he sees any activity, he can see with that knowledge that this person is acting in the mode of goodness, this is acting in the mode of passion, this is person is acting in the mode of ignorance, and how we can elevate ourselves from the effect of these modes. Otherwise, we are bound. People say we are independent. I am free to do what I am, I want to do. But that's not the case. Our senses are directing us to do some things which many times we all have that experience that we want, we don't want to do something, but we are impelled, but we are forced to do something. So that Krishna explains is the modes, the different modes, the mode of goodness, the passion, the ignorance in which we are put, forces us, the forces the living entity to act. So therefore, we have to develop this Shastra Chakshu. The knowledge gives the vision. Like simple example, Jai Shri Shraddha Gopinath Deva Ki Chai, Shinitai Gorachandra Bhagavan Ki Chai, Sri Gopal Ji Bhagavan Ki Chai. How knowledge gives vision. Like you have an X-ray film, you can see that film, but unless one has that knowledge of radiology or medicine, one cannot understand. One may just see the bone structure, but what is the difficulty, what is the problem, or what is the reason, one will not be able to fathom. For that, you need the knowledge of medical science or radiology. So therefore, similarly, if you want to see the world from the perspective of the person who has made this world, then we need to study these scriptures. That is most important. And then we can understand how we can free ourselves from the mode of goodness and mode of passion and ignorance. As Prabhupada is explaining here, that there are different kinds of planets for different kinds of living entities. Those who die in the goodness are elevated to the planets where great sages and great devotees live. So that is the science, as Krishna will further explain about the people in the mode of passion and ignorance. So basically it's not that you die in the mode of goodness. You die in the mode of goodness if you have led a life of mode of goodness. That is important. As Govinda Prabhu was mentioning in his afternoon class, this Sunday afternoon, that if you think that I will, as we say, that if you die remembering Krishna, you go to Krishna. So if you can say that the whole life I will try to enjoy, and in the end, I will take a gun, chant the names of God and shoot myself and remember Krishna. No, that's not possible. It's not a mechanical process. When you lead a sattvic life, a life based on a mode of goodness, as Krishna explains in these verses, in this whole chapter, the three modes of material nature. And when you lead a life based on those principles of mode of goodness, then you can die a life or die in the mode of goodness. That is the art of dying. That is what Srila Prabhupada is explaining, purification. Amalan, that is the word which Srila Prabhupada picks from the translation, is Amalan, that is free from the modes, purification. So purification is important. This life is like a preparation, and death is like the final exam. So the whole, you cannot, in this world it happens sometimes you haven't prepared, but sometimes you just go through it, you give a bribe and you just clear the exam. But Krishna's exams or Krishna's government is very, very foolproof. You cannot cheat the God. He is the greatest of all the cheaters. You cannot cheat him. So then if you want to die in the mode of goodness, that means you had to purify yourself and lead a life based on mode of goodness. That is important. And then the next verse, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna is explaining that one dies in the mode of passion, who had led a passionate life all throughout his life. He takes birth among those engaged in fruitive activities. And when dies in ignorance, he takes his birth in the animal kingdom. This is very important. Where our destination will be, we have to be very, very careful. Any thoughtful person has to be careful about what his next destination is going to be. This is what the theme that is coming up, that we have to be very, very thoughtful and careful what my actions are going to lead me to. That is very, very important. And as Prabhupada is clarifying the misconception, Prabhupada writes that many people have that conception that once we have reached the human platform, one cannot go down. This is incorrect, Prabhupada explains. According to one, if one develops the mode of ignorance, how one develops mode of ignorance is by acting or by engaging in those activities in the mode of ignorance, not following the scriptural rules and regulations, leading a life based on complete sense gratification, trying to enjoy one's senses unrestrictedly without following the regulative principles. So then the result, Krishna is saying, the Bhagavad Gita or these literatures, they are like the guidelines or they are like the manuals. You buy a product, you get a manual. The manual says how to use that product very nicely, how to maintain it and how to clean it. You buy a television, you get a manual. How to clean the whole thing, how to use it properly, how to set the channels, and everything is described by the manufacturer because he has the best of the knowledge about that. So similarly, when Krishna is speaking about this knowledge of mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, it is he who has created these modes. Depending upon our desire, we get entangled, spirit, soul being pure. Being entangled in these modes, we get entangled and then later on, depending upon our life, the way we lead our life, we get the next destination. So therefore, God who has created us and the modes, he has the best of the knowledge or the information about the modes. So therefore, when he is saying that if you do not lead a life based on goodness, or if you lead a life based on passion or ignorance, you will go to the animal life. Therefore, Prabhupada says that therefore those who are actually serious about human life should take to the mode of goodness and in association transcend the modes ultimately and become situated in Krishna consciousness. This is the aim of human life. Otherwise, we are grossly misusing the human form of life. Like if you have a Mercedes Benz, somebody has a Mercedes Benz and a huge farm also. He takes his Mercedes Benz to the farm and puts a plow behind it and tries to plow the field. That's possible. You can do it for that. You can use that for that. But that's not the best use of it. You have a mobile. You can use it as just as an alarm clock or to see the time. That's also using the mobile. But that's not the most efficient or the best use of the mobile. Similarly, this human form is life is there. You can use it for trying to enjoy in this world, which is not possible without Krishna consciousness. But you can try without Krishna consciousness, try to be happy, which is not possible, of course. But still, you can try various ways to be happy, try to earn wealth, try to spend the whole energy in amassing wealth, spending your 24 hours, the whole of your energy in trying to be happy. That's like using the Mercedes Benz to plow the field. It's of no use. That's not the aim of human life, as Prabhupada is pointing out. Otherwise, there is no guarantee that human being will attain to the human status. So therefore, taking to God consciousness or coming closer to God, one gets purified and gets the real knowledge and understanding about what God is, what is my relationship with God. And then he can truly make the best use of the human form of life. That is what this human form of life is meant for. As Prabhupada is explaining in this purport, to transcend the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. And how to do This is very, very important science, as the scriptures explains, specifically in this age of Kali Yuga, is explained, Harir Naam, Harir Naam, Harir Naam Eva Kevanam. Kalo Nasti Eva Nasti Eva Nasti Eva Gatir Anyatha. That in this age of Kali, the greatest or the easiest way to overcome these modes is to chant the names of God. Harir Naam, Harir Naam, Harir Naam Eva Kevanam. This is stressed 3 times, that Harir Naam, only by chanting the names of God. This is the most easiest and the sublime process of purifying oneself from the effect of these lower modes. We have experienced in our lives, and we have seen so many millions and thousands of people, those who have taken to this process of Krishna consciousness, their lives being transformed. When Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of our movement, he went to the United States, he preached to the hippies there who were completely engaged in intoxications, in gambling, in illicit sex activities, rejecting the society. They were completely like away from the society, reject of the society, in the darkest of ignorance. Their destination to the lower modes or to the animal species was guaranteed. But when Srila Prabhupada gave them this present, this gift of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Then they got purified. And now we see so many devotees practicing Krishna consciousness all over the world. We have centers all over the world. There are devotees, hundreds and thousands of devotees all over the world, in America, in China, in Russia, all over the world. People are chanting Hare Krishna, purifying their lives and leading a life based on mode of goodness. So that is very, very important. That is the proof how we can do that. And therefore, and Krishna, who is the most loving and God, he provides these scriptures. This, the reason why Krishna provides scriptures, is his great mercy, that he gives this information of how we can come back. That is the whole idea of this material world in one sense. This idea of the material world is designed so that we can understand these scriptures and go back to our original home where the Supreme Lord is waiting for each one of us. He comes through his scriptures. He comes through his devotees. He comes in different ways in the form of his prasad to give us mercy. It only depends upon us how we accept this mercy and accept the process and finally transcend the modes. That is very, very important. And hearing from the Bhagavad Gita about Krishna is one of the very wonderful ways how we can transcend these modes. Like we have in Krishna book, in Krishna Leela, one wonderful story which also puts forth this message about chanting the names of God and hearing about Krishna is very, very important. This is one beautiful Leela when Krishna was just born. He was about 6 days old. Of course, Krishna's birth, as Krishna himself explained in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 4th chapter, that one who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities can transcend the modes. What is that verse? Janma karma chame divyam evo evam yoveti tattvata. That one who knows my activities and birth can transcend the modes very, very easily. And he can himself situate himself in the mode of goodness. So when Krishna was born in a very, very transcendental way, of course we are not going to discuss that, it's a separate subject matter, but when he was just 6 days old, he wanted to kill all the babies who were born in the last 10 days. At that time, Nanda Maharaj, after Krishna was born, after they celebrated the Nandotsav festival, Nanda Maharaj had gone to the house of to pay the tax to comes to Mathura. And that time he meets Vasudev also. Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj were very good friends. And after meeting Vasudev, Vasudev tells actually Nanda Maharaj that there might be some disturbance in Gokul Mahavan. So please, you immediately proceed towards Mahavan. So Nanda Maharaj, having faith in his friend, of course, Vasudev was like his younger brother. He had faith in the words. And Nanda Maharaj was walking back towards Gokul Mahavan, thinking about the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And at the same time, what was happening in Gokul Mahavan was, Kams had sent the Putana, a witch, a Rakshasi, which Srimad Bhagavatam describes as Khechari. Khechari is like a demoness who could fly in air with taking a branch of a tree and fly all over the planet, all over the world around. So Putana, she entered after killing so many of the small children in the neighboring villages. Putana finally enters Gokul Mahavan looking for Krishna. And she was dressed herself like very beautiful women. And when all the Vrajavasis, they saw Putana dressed in a very beautiful form, they were enchanted with her beauty. They were thinking, probably it is the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, have personally come to meet our beloved Krishna, our Gopal. So therefore they never stopped. They thought probably some of the heavenly damsels have come to see Krishna. So they just allowed her. She was very, very beautifully decorated with earrings, with flowers in her hair. And she was glancing at everyone very attractively. So in a way deceiving everyone. And in this way, she entered the house of Nanda Maharaj, the Nanda Bhavan. She directly entered where the Supreme Lord Krishna was lying in his beautiful blackish blue complexion of a like a blue sapphire, with pinkish hands like lotus flowers. His body was as soft as the butter, more softer than the butter. That Supreme Lord in the form of a beautiful child. That is about Krishna. Or when God does something, he does to the best. When Krishna performs the childhood leelas or the pastimes, he does to his best ability. He does the best. Whatever Krishna does, if he wants to cheat someone, he's the best. If he wants to kill someone, he's the best. So whatever Krishna does is the best. When Krishna performs those childhood leelas or pastimes, he's the most beautiful child. When we see a small child performing some leelas or not leelas, some activities, we are all attracted by the broken words of the small children. We are attracted to the small, whenever a small child is there in a house, everyone is like enraptured by the child, always talking to him, seeing him, beautiful activities. So when Krishna came, he performed the best of those activities as a child, the best of this beautiful child. And Putana, she entered the house. She saw Krishna. And when Putana understood that this is not an ordinary child. She had killed so many small children, but Putana could understood. And then, as Krishna showed the nature of a small child and closed his eyes when he saw Krishna, as if to avoid the face of Putana. Of course, the various acharyas in various sampradayas have given different reasons why Krishna closed his eyes. Some say that Krishna closed his eyes because he did not like to see the face of Putana, who had killed so many of the children and who had now come to kill him. Others, some of the acharyas explain that something extraordinary was being dictated to Putana, and in order to give her assurance, to give assurance to Putana, Krishna closed his eyes so that she is not frightened. And yet, other acharyas explain that Krishna appeared to kill the demon and give protection to the devotee. Therefore, Pavitranay Sadhunath, Krishna's reasons for appearance is to protect his devotees and to kill the demons. But then Krishna is thinking, that the first demon I have to kill is a lady, a woman, which according to the Shastras, women, whatever activities may do, should not be killed. So Krishna is thinking now, the first demon I have to kill is a lady. What should I do? And of course, another reason, Krishna closed his eyes because Krishna took Putana to be her nurse. Very, very significant. Krishna took her to be her nurse. Putana came to Krishna just to offer her breast to the Lord to suck Krishna, her Krishna's life. He had applied a very powerful poison on her breasts. That's the intention of Putana to come to Krishna. And we will see as this pastime unfolds how the Lord's most merciful nature is revealed. And then Putana picks up Krishna on her lap. Putana takes Krishna on her lap. Yashoda Mai is there, Rohini Devi is there. They are thinking probably Lakshmi Devi is there in this most beautiful form. He is trying to feed my baby Krishna. Krishna is there on the lap and she forces her breast into Krishna's mouth. And Krishna, being the omniscient, all-powerful Supreme Lord, he began to suck not only the poison, with the milk, he was sucking Putana's life air. When Kitana realized, she began to shout, "Oh child, leave me, leave me." She was shouting loudly, "Leave me, leave me." She was crying loudly, perspiring, and her whole body became wet. And she could not restrain her the form which he had assumed. She had to reveal her original form, and she came out of the house. And then she was crying out loudly, loudly, and Krishna sucked her milk, at the same time sucked her life air also out. And then in this way, Putana assumed her original form and died. And it is explained by the Acharyas that she fell, like her form was 12 miles long. And when Krishna performs some activity, he does it in the best way, as we were saying. So then, when Putana came out, Krishna took her far away, so that she does not destroy the Brajabhumi, the Vrindavan. So he took her to a place where Kamsa's forests were there, with mango trees were there. So Putana fell down on this Kamsa's garden, and all the trees were destroyed. So in this way, Putana left her body. And Bhagavatam describes her ugly body. The long hair on her head was scattered all over her body. Her body extended to 12 miles and it smashed all the trees to pieces. Everyone was struck with wonder. Her teeth appeared like the plowed roads. Her nostrils like the mountain caves. Her eye sockets appeared like blind wells. Her thighs were like the two banks of a river. Her hands appear like two strongly constructed bridges. Abdomen, like the dried up lake. So all the cowherd men, those who were there, when they heard the sound, they came where this Putana's body was there. So they all assembled over there. And they were thinking how this great calamity has come upon our dear little Krishna. And then they saw from distance that Krishna was on the breasts of Putana playing very nicely. So some of the cowherd men made a ladder and climbed over Putana's body, brought Krishna down and handed over to Yashoda Mai. And she was very lovingly embracing Krishna. And in this way, Putana was killed. And then the Bhagavatam describes the simple Brajabasis, how what all they did, as we were hearing this afternoon from Govinda Prabhu about the importance of cows and cow protection. The Brajabasis, how much importance they gave to the cows. This Krishna is just 6 days old. So they bathed Krishna with the cow urine. The dust raised from the hooves of the cows was showered on Krishna's body. He was bathed with the washed with the cow dung. The tail of the calf was switched over, like moved around Krishna, and they chanted various mantras to protect Krishna. There also in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, they were chanting different names of the Supreme Lord. Like he says that, may Lord Ishwar protect your head, may Lord Chakradhar protect your front, may Lord Gadadhar protect your back, may Lord Madhusudan, who carries a bow, protect your eyesight. It's in this way, different names of the Supreme Lord, they were chanting to protect Krishna. That is the love of the Vrajabasis. Of course, Krishna himself is the Supreme Personality, but the love of the Vrajabasis is very, very sweet. They were trying to protect the Supreme Lord, and Krishna loves that reciprocation of the Vrajabasis. So in this way, Yashoda Mai and all, they were chanting different names of Lord Vishnu to protect Krishna. In this way, in this purport also, Srila Prabhupada explains the importance of chanting the names of God. That whatever, we may not remember all these names, whatever we do, we should always remember the names of Lord. That can give us a real shelter and real protection in all circumstances. Whatever difficulties we have, if we take shelter of the names of God, that protection, that shelter is guaranteed. Because Krishna himself says, as the scripture explains, that Krishna's name is non-different from the Supreme Lord Krishna. So their whole power is infested in that. And then that protection is guaranteed if one takes shelter of the name. And Prabhupada in the purport explains about quotes from the Ayurveda Shastra also, that the Ayurveda also explained that Aushadhi Chintayet Vishnu, that even while taking medicine, one should take the names of Lord Vishnu. Aushadhi Chintayet Vishnu. So there's the real protection comes from remembering the names of Lord. That is the age. In this age, that is the process. So in this way, various ceremonies was performed and all those things happened. And then also the Brajavasis, when they saw this huge form of Putana, they decided what to do with this huge form. So they brought their choppers and all those axes and cut the body of Putana into small, small pieces and burnt those body of. Of course, one reason they did was because they thought that this is like the body of a serpent's body, is very poisonous body. She had come to give poison to Krishna. So traditionally it was there in the olden times in the villages. Sometimes when a serpent or a snake would die, people would cut the body of the snake and burn. Otherwise they would think that it may join again. Something like that. So they just cut the body of Putana into pieces and burn. And amazingly, when they burn the body of Putana, amazing, wonderful fragrance, as if hundreds of incenses were lighted. The aguru smell was coming from the body of Putana's. So everyone was surprised and amazed to see this. When Nanda Maharaj also smelled, they were all amazed about this. So what is the reason? So the acharyas explained, because she came in touch with Krishna, she got purified. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord. If somehow or other one comes in touch, that is Krishna's sparsh, Mukunda sparsh. Krishna's touch purifies. In any way, if one comes in touch with the Supreme Lord in the form of his Archa Vigraha, in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, if one comes in touch with the Supreme Lord in the form of his holy name, in the form of his holy abode, the in the form of the dhams, the Vrindavan, the Mathura, the Dwarka, Jagannathuri, if one comes in touch in any way to the Supreme Lord, one is purified. So Putana came in touch with the Supreme Lord personally. She got completely purified. And amazingly enough, the Bhagavatam describes that she attained the position of a nurse in the spiritual world. So this pastime is very, very important and hope-giving to each one of us. That how she came with an intention to give poison. And Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he is the most merciful Lord. What he is giving in return, is the position of her, his nurse in the spiritual abode. That is the most merciful nature of the Supreme Lord being highlighted in this past time. If any mundane boss is there, or if someone comes to kill you or me, we will try to kill that person, get him arrested, or try to do some harm to that person. But here is God, 6 days old, and someone is coming to kill him. And he, rather than killing that person or giving punishment to that person, is giving her the position of a mother in the spiritual world. So that is the God. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord. That is the nature of God whom we are worshipping. That we have to understand, that he is the most merciful. As Bhagavatam, the fourth canto of Bhagavatam describes, that the love of the Supreme Lord for his children is, like in this world, the love of mother is most sacred. Mother loves the child, is very, very pure and sacred. But Krishna's love, the Bhagavatam describes, is like the love of millions of mothers put together and more. That is Krishna's or God's love for each one of us. He is waiting for us to take one step towards him. Putana, she just came to offer poison. And Krishna took the good that she came to offer me, the breast milk. She came to feed me. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, it is very, very important that we understand the nature of the Supreme Lord and understand our relationship with the Supreme Lord and see how we can transcend the modes, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this verses. Therefore, Prabhupada concludes this section of Putana that one should only worship Krishna if for no other reason than so much benefit awaits the worshipper. Although Putana was an evil spirit, she gained elevation just like the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is clear, of course, Prabhupada describes about the gopis and the cows further on. Krishna can offer anyone anything from liberation to anything materially conceivable. Therefore, there cannot be any doubt of the salvation of Putana, whose bodily milk was sucked by Krishna for such a long time. That is very, very important lesson which we learn from this episode, that we have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And primarily in this age, by the process of chanting. And then, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in the purport, that the word amalan is significant, that freedom from the modes of passion and ignorance. Then we can transcend or overcome these modes and situate ourselves in the mode of goodness and ultimately die in the mode of goodness or beyond goodness and return back to our original home where the Supreme Lord is waiting for each one of us. That is very, very important section, this chapter, the three modes of material nature. As we discussed earlier, that this scriptures gives us a vision, the Shastra Chakshu, to see things in the right perspective. So therefore, it is very, very essential that we try to study Bhagavad Gita and see things in the real perspective. How the modes act in our lives, how I can overcome these modes and lead a true independent or free life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there is any question some would like, or some comment somebody should make. Yes, bro. Is that mic?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, at the time of death, suppose you are endeavoring very hard, you are you are chanting 16 round and you are following the regulative principles and you are doing devotional services, you are giving 100%. But how to understand that at the time of death you can remember Krishna? If Krishna at the time of death, if you don't remember Krishna, then you don't go to Krishna. Suppose, yes. How to understand means Krishna from his side he will reciprocate, or from our side we will do our endeavor, but at last if Krishna doesn't want, we will take birth again.
Basically, Krishna is the most merciful Lord, as we discussed about his nature. As Krishna explains in the 10th chapter, 10th verse, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadadmi buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna says that to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So Krishna personally gives the remembrance at the time of death. If we are engaged in Krishna consciousness throughout our life, Krishna will personally force his remembrance to us. That is the nature of the Supreme Lord. Remembrance comes from Krishna. Otherwise, we cannot remember Krishna on our own at the time of death, because it's a very, very painful situation. Many times people say that he died very peacefully, but that person has to experience great amount of pain. Everyone has to experience a lot of pain, as the scriptures explain. While at the time when the soul is separated, the subtle body is separated from the gross body, everyone has to go through the intense, severe pain depending on the attachment he has. But Krishna, as he's explaining here, that he gives the intelligence, he forces the remembrance in devotee's life. And we have seen practically examples in our movement also of many, many devotees who have been practicing Krishna consciousness and have left in a very, very wonderful way remembering Krishna. So there are so many examples in our movement also. So Krishna will force his remembrance, give his remembrance. So there is no loss, as Krishna says, Neha Bikramana Shusti, that any small endeavor done in this path, there is no loss. This Krishna's bank account is eternal. It's not like the bank accounts of this world, where you deposit some money and if you do not operate for some years, they just put it in sundry or they just reject your account. Any small amount of devotional service done, that is an eternal credit to your account, and Krishna will reciprocate with that in your next life or whatever next destination which we achieve. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. So now we'll have Kirtan, and then at 8:50 you'll have the night Shayan Darshan of their lordships, Radha Gopina. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.